Professions and Economic Development, our hearing today of June 19th. There are three bills proposed for consent today. File item number 3 by Assemblymember Bonta, AB 602. File item number 7, AB 1277, by Assemblymember Daly. And file item 8, AB 1381, by Assemblymember Obernalty. We do not have a quorum established or the ability to establish one yet, so we will begin as a subcommittee. And I see Assemblymember Salas is here. Welcome. Please come forward, and we will begin as a subcommittee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for allowing me to present AB 326.
Absolutely.
I'd also like to acknowledge the ladies I have with me from 4-H in Kern County. They're back here. Actually, we were just talking about this bill this morning.
Really?
And so
it's interesting. I was actually talking about your bill on Saturday at a human trafficking event.
Oh, fantastic. So, I hope that bodes well for the committee vote to come.
I think it does.
And I believe Senator Fuller, they're going to go see you, or they might go see you in just a bit. So AB 326 is designed to educate salon professionals about the signs of abuse, as well as how to support and connect their clients with resources. Really, it came about just talking to salon stylists and learning that there was issues of domestic abuse that they would always hear with their clients, didn't know exactly how to connect them with services. This legislation is just to train them, or now with the recent amendments, and I'm more than happy to accept the amendments from the committee, and thank you to your staff for helping put that together to develop it, but really to educate them and give them the resources they need so that they can provide those resources to their clients in turn. I spoke to one hairstylist that was talking about where they just left out cards and flyers on their desk, and they would notice month after month that they would always be gone, always be gone. People would just take these resources. And so we said, well, why don't we do that in California? Why don't we actually make it a part of the process, educate people so that they can have these resources to help more victims? And so that's what we're hoping to do. The committee's expanded that to beyond domestic abuse and also signs of human trafficking as well. And so welcome those amendments and appreciate an aye vote.
Very good. Thank you very much, Assemblymember Salas. Our witnesses in support.
My name is Christine Smith. I'm with the California Partnership to End Domestic Violence. Thank you for hearing my testimony today on AB 326. We're pleased to be supporting this important bill. The partnership is the statewide domestic violence coalition representing over 200 organizations serving domestic violence survivors, their families, and communities all across California. This bill is designed to educate salon professionals about the signs of physical and sexual abuse, as well as how to support and connect their clients with resources for help. In California, approximately 40% of women will experience intimate partner physical violence in their lifetime. And each year, domestic violence programs in California provide essential life-saving services for victims and their children fleeing violence. On just one day in 2015, 5,100 victims and their children received services at domestic violence programs throughout the state. Many cases of domestic violence go unreported. Survivors are often scared or reluctant to reach out for help. When you're in a relationship and you may not see the signs and may not seek help or even know how to access it, talking to a third party outside of your relationship can be extremely clarifying. When that person knows of resources and connect clients, we can get survivors the help that they need. Passing AB 326 is a step forward in ending domestic violence and sexual assault and will provide victims with additional information and avenues to access services. We respectfully request that you vote aye on this important bill. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Smith. Others in support?
Thank you.
Is there anyone here in opposition? Seeing no one, any questions or comments from community? Yes, Senator Pan.
No, thank you. No, thank you, Assemblymember Salas, for raising the awareness on the issue of domestic violence and physical sexual abuse awareness. I think that certainly with the amendments, I'm more comfortable with the bill. I'm always a little reluctant about mandating particular things in education. Adult learning is about people learn better when they're focused on things that they've identified as issues in their own training. And and frankly, actually, in a way, these are issues that we need. These professionals may be in a particular situation where they may be in relationships where they may learn, you know, they may better be able to work with people. I think that, you know, this issue also more broadly, the awareness needs more broadly across multiple areas as well. So I do want to, you know, thank you for bringing this forward. I think that, but I just want to be careful. We're not getting to a place where, you know, it's great for us to sit back and say, you know, you need to know X and Y and Z, but we get to the point where basically what happens is that we're dictating so much of what people, and they sound good on the surface. No one's, you know, certainly I'm not going to, you know, don't object to people knowing more about this particular topic. But I think that we also need to allow the professionals also need to be able to have time to, you know, work on the issues related to their profession in terms of, and the profession needs to help dictate what the gaps are in their own profession. So, thank you.
Very good. Thank you. And before we move to establish a quorum, please call the roll.
Hill?
Here.
Hill here at Fuller. Here. Fuller here at Dodd.
Here.
Dodd here at Galgiani. Here. Galgiani here at Glazer. Hernandez. Newman. Pan.
Here.
Pan here. Welk.
Very good. We do have a quorum. Any further questions? Yes, Senator Dodd.
Yeah, I agree with Senator Pan. I think, you know, when I was looking this over this weekend, you know, I had some, you know, issues. I like the amendments. I guess one question that I don't recall, is this a one-time training or is this annually?
Got it. And I think with the amendments, we have the advisory committee that will be put together to actually help identify that. Initially, when we first drafted the bill, was also modeled after a bill that passed in Illinois. And in Illinois, what they did is they incorporated it into the certification. So, as for instance, as you went to get your barbering license or cosmetology license, what they did was like an hour course. So it wasn't onerous, and I know I hear you, Senator Dodd and Senator Pan. We didn't want to make a huge onerous thing. What we did want to do is connect people to the resources and at least know what's available locally to do that. And so that's what we were envisioning. I believe the committee is going to come up, and what's the best way to do that now, and how are we going to do that? And those were the amendments that we accepted in committee.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Is there a motion? Very good. Thank you, Senator Galgiani. Assemblymember Salas, would you like to close?
I just respectfully request an aye vote. We know that 1 in 3 women suffers from domestic violence. That was really the crux of where we were starting, but with the amendments of the committee to expand that as well, accept those amendments and respectfully ask for an aye vote moving forward.
Very good. Thank you for accepting the amendments and for working so well with the committee. Please call the roll.
Motion is due pass as amended to Senate Appropriations Committee. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Fuller?
Aye.
Fuller, aye. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Glazer? Hernandez? Newman? Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Wilk?
The bill has 5 votes, but we'll hold the roll open for absent members. Thank you very much. See you. All right. Thank you, Senator Dodd. Senator Dodd, thank you. Please call the roll.
Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Fuller?
Aye.
Fuller, aye. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Glazer? Hernandez? Newman? Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Wilk?
Very good. 5 votes. We'll hold the roll open for the absent members there as well. Thank you. As soon as we see some more authors, we will continue the hearing. Well, we are back. The committee is back in session here, and I see Assemblymember Steinhorth. You're next on the list. File order.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Today, I'm pleased to present AB 238,
which seeks to prohibit the use of volatile solvent extractors in residential and mixed-use buildings. Currently, we are seeing a dramatic increase in the use of these volatile solvent extractors in residential areas. This bill requires licensed individuals to utilize an extraction system to operate it in a commercial building. We need to encourage and require that the average Californian does not have access to operate this dangerous equipment in our home, surrounded by neighborhoods, My staff will continue to work with the committee staff prior to a vote on the Senate floor to make sure the language of this bill aligns with the cannabis trailer bill that we passed last Thursday. With that, I respectfully...
Very good. Thank you very much. Are there witnesses here in support of the bill? Is there anyone here in opposition? Very good. We have a motion from Senator Pan. Any conversation, discussion, or questions? Seeing none. Would you like to close?
I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Very good. Thank you. We do have a motion from Senator Pan. Please call the roll.
Motion is due pass the Senate floor. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Fuller?
Aye.
Fuller, aye. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Glazer? Hernandez? Newman? Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Wilk?
The five votes. We'll hold the roll open for the absent members. Thank you very much. Very good. And we have... Assemblymember Mainshine, welcome. Nice to see you again. You're a weekly participant here.
Thank you very much.
This is
Mr.
item number 5, AB 1138. Please proceed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members. AB 1138 would amend existing law to specify that sellers of pets are prohibited from making false or misleading representations regarding an animal that they advertise for sale. While California broadly regulates false and misleading advertising practices, unscrupulous breeders, often known as puppy mills, regularly post false or misleading information regarding the health, appearance, and characteristics of the pet being advertised for sale. These are a classic bait and switch in which the consumer does not get the animal they have been seen advertised and may unknowingly purchase a pet with significant health issues, and often this results in costly veterinary bills. California Code prohibits the use of false or deceptive advertising in connection with the sale of personal and real property currently. This bill will help to provide more ethical practices towards the sale and care of pets by limiting puppy mill sales from out-of-state breeders. Here to testify in support of AB 1138 is Susan Riggs, representing the ASPCA.
Good afternoon again. While the internet has made life easier in many, many ways, it has really opened up opened up opportunities for unethical practices, as the assembly member said, in association with pet sales. You know, historically, you know, when someone was going to purchase a pet from a breeder, they would go and visit the site, would be able to interview the breeder, would be able to see the dog or cat in question. That is not the case anymore with the internet, and so it's really opened up a lot of opportunity for scams and for unethical behavior. In 2016, the Federal Trade Commission stated that there have been tens of thousands of complaints filed in association with online dog scams. And a quick online search of this will really bear that out. You see numerous blog posts and complaints online when you just put in any kind of search terms associated with scams and pet sales. While, you know, we are certainly concerned with the consumer protection aspect of the bill, we're also very focused on ensuring the prevention of incidents of animal cruelty associated with these scams. This really arises when sellers fail to disclose significant health concerns associated with a dog or cat being sold. In several highly publicized cases, dogs with highly contagious parvovirus, or parvo, have been shipped to unwitting buyers. And, you know, this is a situation where the dog in question is experiencing severe vomiting, diarrhea, really significant, you know, signs of medical condition, a serious medical condition. It's also highly contagious when the buyer receives that dog. But clearly, during the shipping process, it's a really unethical and, you know, serious, you know, breach of cruelty, animal cruelty, in shipping that animal when it is experiencing those kinds of symptoms. And then, of course, when the buyer receives the pet, I mentioned the contagiousness if they have other pets, but also they're going to experience, you know, several hundreds to thousands of dollars in medical bills immediately upon receiving that pet in order to treat the underlying medical conditions. And in some cases, in these cases that I'm referencing here, the pets have had to be euthanized. And so obviously there's a very huge emotional cost associated with that. So while the incidents of false advertising are generally addressed under existing law, we do believe that there are certain circumstances here that really raise this particular type of false advertising to you the same level of many of the other circumstances that are spelled out in existing code. And I think, you know, really, you know, the support for needing to bring call attention to this particular type of false advertising is really borne out by the fact that we have done extensive searches of case law and have not seen a single incident where a DA has brought charges on false advertising in association with these types of claims. We do see animal cruelty where they could be brought, but for some reason this is really being overlooked as a potential charge. So I'll close with that and ask for your aye vote on the bill.
Thank you very much. Are there other witnesses in support?
Mr. Chairman, other members, Paul Yoder on behalf of the State Humane Association of California, also in support.
Thank you, Mr. Yoder. Good afternoon.
Katie Van Dyens here on behalf of the Humane Society of the United States, the San Francisco SBCA, San Diego Humane Society, and the Best Friends Animal Society in support. Thank you.
Thank you. Others in support? Is there anyone here in opposition? Seeing no one, questions or comments? Senator Dodd.
Yeah, thank you, Assemblymember Manchin. I appreciate this. I see this as a plus, but I guess I had one question is, do you think that the reason they're not prosecuting for this is because of the law itself or because they're not aware of specific crimes? And so I'm wondering if we pass a law, you know, delineating just false and misleading claims for, you know, animals and this type of thing, if that's going to do any good. That's my concern.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a valid concern. I'm not totally sure why they're not. I mean, it's probably a little bit of both, to be honest with you. We did research it, as Susan said, and couldn't find cases where DAs had done it. But we know this is happening frequently, and it's, you know, as was said earlier, you know, in the sort of the old days, you went to the local pet store and picked out a pet. Now everything, we know we're doing all our businesses online, and so the photos are different, and the animal that they're advertising is much different than the one that's being shipped. We're hopeful that this provides a tool. I mean, we're at zero now, so I think it would be some level of improvement. Do I think it's going to eradicate it? No, but I do think it would be an improvement.
Thank you.
Senator Penn.
Yeah, I guess sort of along similar lines, but I just because as you were doing your research in terms of the selling online, you know, people who are online sellers can be located in many places. I wasn't sure how much of that was happening from sellers in California where a DA would have the opportunity to prosecute versus I guess they could try to prosecute someone who's living in another state across the border or something. But I wasn't sure in terms of the in terms of trying to address the problem, how much of a internal within the California problem we have with this versus are these bad players outside of the state shipping dogs into or outside the country even? I don't know.
It's a very significant presence in California. Okay. For example, I mean, just Craigslist. I mean, sort of the more local mm-hmm. sort of internet services that are provided. Just Craigslist alone is a huge California presence. Some clearly are out-of-state puppy mills, mm-hmm. but it's a very significant number in California.
Okay, so there's an opportunity then to get care of at least within California. Okay, well, I appreciate that. And with that, I'm happy to move the bill.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Pan. We have a motion. Would you like to close?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. Respectfully request an aye vote.
Appreciate that. And we have a motion from Senator Pan. Please call the roll.
Motion is due pass to Senate Public Safety Committee. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Fuller?
Aye.
Fuller, aye. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Glazer? Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Newman? Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Wilk?
Six. The bill has six votes. We'll hold the roll open for the absent members. Thank you very much. Assemblymember Chow, I see you back there. Please come forward. I'm sorry, Anna. He snuck in on the back there. He came in the back door. I knew.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and Senator.
We're moving to item number four, AB 823. Assemblymember, please proceed.
Thank you very much. AB 823 would require that edible marijuana products must be stamped, marked, or imprinted with a cannabis product symbol, which clearly indicates the product contains marijuana. The state of Colorado was the first state in the nation to implement marijuana legalization in 2012. And as a result of the implementation, their state law, they saw an increase in cases of accidental ingestion from marijuana edible products. Due to the spike in accidental ingestion of these products, the state of Colorado enacted a bill in 2014 to essentially require edible retail marijuana products to be stamped, shaped, colored, or otherwise marked with a standardized symbol indicating that they contain marijuana and are not for consumption of children. There are various ways that can be used to address accidental ingestion of marijuana products, including safe storage, child-resistant packaging, labeling, and education, requiring the use of a cannabis product symbol to indicate that an edible product contains marijuana is truly an important step in properly educating the public at large. Whether it is an adult who accidentally grabbed the wrong product or a child who has been taught about the potential danger of consuming marijuana, a standardized symbol can mean the difference between a normal afternoon snack and a trip to the emergency room. AB 823 would require that each single serving of marijuana-infused edible product be stamped, marked, or otherwise imprinted with a cannabis product symbol. This symbol would be required to be centered either horizontally or vertically and placed directly on at least one side of each single serving of edible marijuana products. And by establishing a cannabis product symbol in California that clearly distinguishes whether a product contains marijuana or not, we are giving adults and children a peace of mind in knowing that they are safe from accidental ingestion. With me today is Lauren Michaels of California Police Chiefs Association.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Lauren Michaels on behalf of the California Police Chiefs Association. Happy to be here today in support of AB 823. By requiring a universal symbol to be stamped or marked on each serving of an edible marijuana product, AB 823 will protect against unintentional consumption, potentially limiting cannabis overdoses, underage use, or unwanted adult consumption. Unfortunately, stories from states such as Colorado that have already legalized marijuana involving hotel rental car rental car company employees unintentionally consuming marijuana edibles left behind by tourists have shown us a clear need for proper packaging, labeling, and product identification. While Proposition 64 included a number of packaging and labeling provisions, it failed to ensure that the actual edible product would be recognized as containing marijuana outside of the packaging. AB 823 closes that loophole and will ensure that consumers know exactly what type of product they are consuming. Thank you.
Thank you. Others in support? Anyone here in opposition? Seeing no one, bringing it back to the committee. This is an excellent, excellent bill, Assemblymember Child.
Thank you much.
It really is. And when the governor of Colorado was here discussing the very problem that you're talking about, he raised that specifically that was missed in their conversation and in their initial legislation and in their rulemaking. And this, we want to make sure we do solve it here. So thank you very much. We have a motion from Senator Pan. Conversation, discussion, or questions? Seeing none. Yes, Senator Dodd.
From a committee standpoint, I know that Senator Stern had a bill on this that we approved, and it went through our House. How does that work at the end of the day? If they both pass, they conference and figure that out? Just from a procedural standpoint, I'm interested in
the...
Or have you been talking about that?
We reached out to his office earlier on, and if this bill passes, then we'll contact his office again, once again, to kind of sort out if there's a way that we could get the committee consultant to help out. Also, that would be great as well.
Figure out a way to do that at the end.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. We have a motion from Senator Pan. Please call the roll. Would you like to close?
Oh, yes. I respectfully ask for a vote.
Thank you very much. Please call the roll.
Motion is due pass to Senate Appropriations Committee. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Fuller?
Aye.
Fuller, aye. Dodd? Dodd,
aye.
Galgiani.
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Glazer.
Aye.
Glazer, aye. Hernandez.
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Newman.
Aye.
Newman, aye. Pan.
Aye.
Pan, aye. Wilk.
Eight. Are we still missing someone? Oh, yes, we are. The bill has eight votes. We'll hold the roll open for the absent member, and thank you very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thanks. We'll now move to item number six, AB 1188, Assemblymember Nazarian.
No, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senators. I feel like I'm a regular here.
Yes, we feel that as well, and we like that fact.
Hope it's a good
Welcome.
Thing. Hope it's a good thing. AB 1188 provides greater access to mental health care in underserved areas and helps fight critical mental health workforce shortages. Currently, when a psychologist, marriage and family therapist, or licensed clinical social worker renews their license, an additional fee of $10 is collected to help repay student loans in that licensed profession. Unfortunately, licensed professional clinical counselors, known as LPCCs, have not been eligible for the loan repayment program despite the mental health services they are capable of providing. This bill adds LPCCs to the list of professionals eligible for the licensed mental health services provider educational program. Additionally, AB 1188 will increase the amount of funds available for a mental health loan repayment program for those who commit to working in medically underserved areas of the state. With me, I have G.V. Ayers on behalf of the California Association of Licensed Professional Clinical Counselors and Rebecca Gonzalez on behalf of the National Association of Social Workers California chapter in support of the bill.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chair, members. My name is G.V. Ayers. I represent CalPIC, the California Association for Licensed Professional Clinical Counselors. We are the newest mental health profession in the state of California. The LPCCs got their license in 2009. One of the issues that's at work is that prior to that time, in 2003, California established the Licensed Mental Health Services Provider Education Program, which established the additional $10 fee. So we were not included in that, so we've been left out ever since. This bill would add us in, and OSHPED administers the program, and I'm not going to go over the details of the program there that Mr. Nazarian has done a wonderful job in doing, but this bill, as we said, it raises the fee for the licensed professions who mental health professions raises it $10 to $20. $10, since the fee is collected every 2 years, that's the price of one of these fancy coffee drinks a year. That's essentially what that is. For LPCCs, that's $20, would be $20, so two of those a year. So we believe that this bill does three things. It's a way to pay it forward for existing licensees to seed future generations of mental health professionals. Secondly, it incentivizes students to choose the mental health field and assist economically disadvantaged students to obtain professional licenses. And thirdly, it leverages that process to access mental health care in underserved areas of the state. The bill is supported by all the licensed professions, and there is no known opposition. We ask for your aye support.
Good. Thank you.
Rebecca Gonzalez, yes. National Association of Social Workers California chapter. We are a co-sponsor of this bill. The minor fee increase is something that I think our members could well absorb, and this bill will help social workers pay for their education. So we think it's a very important bill. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Others in support, please come forward. Good afternoon.
Hi, Roseanne Helms on behalf of the Board of Behavioral Sciences. The board is in support of this bill.
Thank you.
Leah Barrows on behalf of the California Association of Marriage and Family Therapists in support.
Thank you.
Sharice Burns on behalf of the Board of Psychology here in support.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Amanda Levy on behalf of the California Psychological Association also in support. Thank you.
Thank you. Others in support? Is there anyone here in opposition? Very good. We'll bring it back to the committee for questions. We have a motion from Senator Pan. And would you like to close?
I respectfully ask for aye vote.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please call the roll.
Motion is due pass to Senate Health Committee. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Fuller?
Aye.
Fuller, aye. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Glazer?
Aye.
Glazer, aye. Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Newman?
Aye.
Newman, aye. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Wilk?
We have 8 votes. We'll hold the roll open for the absent members. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you next week, I'm sure.
I'd like to be here.
It is a much nicer committee than most of the others, isn't it? Thank you, Assemblymember Nazarian. Assemblymember Caballero, welcome. Item number 9, AB 1491. Nice to see you. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, Chairman Hill and Senators. I'm pleased to present AB 1491, which would stop rent-to-own and other leasing contracts for pet dogs and cats. This legislation is necessary in order to protect California consumers as well as the welfare of puppies and kittens being leased to owned through unscrupulous financing schemes that is the subject of this bill. The financing scheme raises a number of ethical concerns contrary to good public policy and morals. It is predatory in nature, focusing on consumers with little or no access to credit. The finance company takes advantage of this situation by offering financing that will ultimately cost 2 to 3 times the retail cost of the pet that they are leasing. In addition, such financing schemes also raise a number of significant questions related to disclosure practices. We have heard from multiple consumers that they were unaware of the details of the financing arrangement that they entered into until they received their first bill. Several expressed outrage to find that they did not own the pet they believed that they were purchasing. Clearly, the finance company and the intermediaries did little to ensure that these families were fully aware of the terms of the contract. Unlike other consumer goods, which can easily be repossessed, a pet requires care and attention at all times. It's simply not contemplated by these transactions. I would argue that the pets are an inappropriate consumer good to be financed in this manner. There are many other outlets for consumer to get a pet for their household, making this detrimental and unconscionable practice unnecessary. On behalf of California consumers and the welfare of the animals that are become part of their family, I ask for your aye vote in support of a prohibition on rent-to-own predatory financing schemes.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Witnesses in support.
Good afternoon. I'm Susan Riggs on behalf of the ASPCA. And I think that, thank you, Assemblymember, for your thorough testimony. And so I think she's covered most of it. I just want to add a couple of facts. We have seen the primary lender engaged in this practice in California, Wags Lending, has been on the record saying that they have a 12% default rate. And so, you know, I guess the question that begs the question of what happens to the pet when the consumer defaults. You know, most of the time, this the lending instrument has already been passed through to a third party, and that party is, you know, really in the business of finance, not in the business of taking care of a pet. And so, you know, rehoming that pet really comes into question, and most often that's going to fall to the local shelters to take on that obligation, and obviously that's to the detriment of the pet that has been leased. I think the other piece that I just wanted to share is, although it is not present that we're aware of yet, in the state of California and Oregon, there has been a model where not only is the lender, not only does the lender own the animal during the term of the contract, but also has the authority over all medical decisions regarding that pet. And so we've seen circumstances in the state of Oregon where that's a prevalent model where the medical services needed by a pet that is being leased have been denied. And that ultimately has resulted in the death of that animal. So, this can really go much, much further and can really go to the detriment of the pet being leased as well as to the consumers that are participating in the transactions.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Others in support? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members, Paul Yoder again here on this bill in support on behalf of the State Humane Association of California.
Very good. Thank you. Others in support? Is there opposition to this legislation? Seeing no one, bringing it back to the committee. Yes, Senator Newman.
This falls into the category for me of you learn something new every day. And in this case, it's shocking. I'm mildly embarrassed to admit I was not aware you could rent to own a pet, but I'm really pleased to see that we're going to put a stop to it. So thank you for bringing this forward.
Thank you. Other questions or comments? Yes, Senator Fuller.
I just think that it would be such a disservice to a pet to go to a home and then have to be repossessed by some institution. I, too, was not aware that this could be an issue. So I'm very glad to support this bill today.
Thank you very much.
Senator Dodd.
Move the bill if it hasn't already.
It has not been, and so thank you for that motion. Would you like to close, Assemblyman?
Respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you very much. We have a motion from Senator Dodd. Please call the roll.
Motion is due pass the Senate Judiciary Committee. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Fuller?
Aye.
Fuller, aye. Dodd?
Aye.
Dodd, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Glazer?
Aye.
Glazer, aye. Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Newman?
Aye.
Newman, aye. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Wilk?
Eight votes. We'll hold the roll open for the absent members. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. So we will now go back to call the absent members on the bills that we've taken up. We'll go to item number one, AB 238. Please call the absent members.
Current votes 5-0. Glazer? Glazer, aye. Hernandez? Hernandez, aye. Newman?
Aye.
Newman, aye. Wilk?
Wilk. Item number one?
Wilk, aye.
Wilk, aye.
Nine. Mm-hmm. Nine. That bill has nine votes, and it is out. Item number two, AB 326, by Assemblymember Salas. Please call the absent members.
Current votes 5-0. Glazer?
Aye.
Glazer, aye. Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Newman?
Aye.
Newman, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
That bill has nine votes as well, and that bill is out. Item number three, which is the consent calendar, item three, AB 602, item seven, AB 1277. And AB 1381 are on consent. Please call the absent members.
Glazer?
Aye.
Glazer, aye. Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Newman?
Aye.
Newman, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
Nine votes. The consent calendar is out. Item number four, AB 823 by Assemblymember Chow. Please call the absent member.
Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
9-0. That bill is out. Item number five, AB 1138, Assemblymember Mainshine. Please call the absent members.
Glazer?
Aye.
Glazer, aye. Newman?
Aye.
Newman, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
Bill has nine votes. It is out. Item number six, AB 1188, Assemblymember Nazarian. Please call the absent member.
Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
9-0. That bill is out. Item number eight.
Nine.
I'm sorry, nine. AB 1491. Please call the absent member.
Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
9-0. That bill is out. This hearing is adjourned. Thank you.